Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the American Israelite Newspaper Podcast, the Let There Be Light Podcast. And I am one of your co-hosts, Netanel Ted Deutsch, here with my other co-host,
Julie Babs Bernson Brook. So today is Wednesday, December 15th. It is the 11th of Tevet, 5782. And we start out with a story that is rather sad.
Well, misconduct alleged, the front page story, top story this week is misconduct alleged at Hebrew Union College by several professors that have all passed away.
Right.
And this came about by one of them passing away, and then social media started up about what he had done during his tenure. And it just all started coming out, and started snowballing. And then the board found out about it, and they hired a law firm, Morgan Lewis, to investigate. And I read the report. They sent out like 30,000 to all the, you know, from like 1970 till now.
Right.
All the graduates, all the people that attended classes, all the professors, students, teachers, you know, assistant professors and all that kind of stuff. And they got a number of responses back, and they started putting together this report. It took them
9 months.
Yeah.
So let's, you know, unpack this a little bit. Mm-hmm. This is not Lashon Hara. Let's be clear. This is not gossip. This is fact.
What they did, the report that they did was based on fact.
And if you think about it, it took them 9 months, the law firm Morgan Lewis.
Actually, a little bit less, because
yeah.
If it started about April, you're talking May, June, July, August, September, October, November.
So very efficient.
It came out November.
And we are not the first one, the American Israelite is not the first one
right.
to bring the story out. The right. report is out among the community, and it was also in the Cincinnati Inquirer. But we had our Carol Hershenson, the assistant editor, go and do a more thorough look into it for the Jewish community. And I think it's important that we become aware of this. It's unfortunate that this has to be something that's going on in the community, in our amazing Hebrew Union College.
Well, I think you have to say that it was, these are different times nowadays. I have, you know, I think this maybe even, you know, I'm going out on a limb and saying this is just my opinion, but this is kind of like our parents' generation. And things were different for them.
That's absolutely true.
Things were different. And then now we're more, in, you know, kind of in charge.
Inappropriate behavior was more accepted then,
even
though it was not any less painful. It just was accepted more.
Right, right.
So we're going to let our listeners read the story themselves and form their own opinions.
Right.
One of the things that you pointed out that's very interesting is the building itself. So we were debating.
You look at the front page, on the front page.
That beautiful building. Yeah. You described it as maybe those are Torah scrolls that are the front.
Center in the center, and it's white in the middle, too. So those would be Torah scrolls when you're holding up the Torah scroll.
And I said it also looked like Shabbat candlesticks.
Yeah,
so either way, it's a very symbolic look on that beautiful building.
Well, somebody designed that and put that design element in there.
Right.
So, all right, we do have a retraction to do.
Well, we're looking for the first baby, for Jewish baby for 2022.
Yes.
So anyone who's got a child that is pregnant, please call us as soon as that baby is born.
Mm-hmm. It might not be till the middle of January. You just never know. All right, so I saw a advertisement in another Jewish publication from around the country, and it just said, send in, you know, a contribution to the
newspaper.
Right, and so I put that in there, but it does say in our ad, donations are tax deductible. They are not tax deductible.
So we have to clarify
for this other
that.
Newspaper, it is tax deductible. But for us, it is not tax deductible. So that will be changed immediately for next week.
On page three from some of our local news, I had meant to talk last week about the Carlsbad, Neshama Carlsbad concert that went on Friday, December 3rd.
And then she was here Saturday and then also Sunday, too.
Right. So it was an amazing concert on a Friday night. I think the room was pretty full considering we're still in COVID and now we've got this coming going around. But it was very full. And I think one of the things that first I noticed that the drummer was amazing. And I thought, oh, my God, that drummer is amazing. Ends up it's her son. And he's only maybe 15 years old, and this is the first concert he's ever done with her in public. I'm sure they've been practicing for years. He was an amazing drummer. The evening was very good. The music was excellent.
Were you rocking
I was rocking. We were clapping. People were standing up. I thought it was a really festive.
She sung, like, Jewish songs? Stuff
she
like
sang
that.
Some of her own, some okay. of her father's, some, it was really good music. Okay. And I'm telling you, that drummer was outstanding. I've always wanted to be a drummer. I had a great grandma who was a drummer in a klezmer band. So that's something I've always wanted. You know, on page 4, we've got our community calendar. And once again, remember, the purple events are those that have to do with the bicentennial. And we have to thank Brent Schultz for our hats. Mm-hmm. I brought mine home yesterday, the trucker bicentennial hat. And Barry was like all excited. Where'd you get this?
I said he wants one too, doesn't he?
Yeah, well, he'll wear that one.
Tell him he can come see me, okay. And I'll see what I can do for him. But I have a very limited number of them.
Well, I'm sure Stephanie wants one of those trucker hats, too. Well, you know, on the community calendar, I'm going to let you pronounce the event that is going on Friday to Saturday, December 17th to the 18th at Congregation Zicharon Eliezer. And
okay,
you told
so
me that's
Shabbos
easy.
Of Chizuk with Harav Haim Yeshua Hoberman. He's probably a Harav, which he's a rabbi.
He's a head, yeah, the rabbi, Harav.
Chizuk, I don't know, I think that's... That's this week. So yeah. That was, I don't know hizuk, what the word hizuk means. I think it's either studying or learning or donation. And that's at Congregation Zikron Elias with CZE.
So there was a couple of items that if I could, I would attend. There's whiskey and the word. But it was for young adult professionals at Adith Israel on Thursday, December 30th. From 7:30 to 9:30.
You might be able to bribe somebody to get there.
Yeah. So Saturday, January 8th is Cooks Compete, and that's also a Congregation Zicharon Eliezer, CZE. Mm-hmm. And then on Sunday, January 30th, at the Jewish Cemeteries of Greater Cincinnati is from our friend David Harris, Finding Your Roots, Getting Started on Researching Your Family History.
So he had mentioned that, and I think we mentioned this, a couple months ago, was it? We did a story on that. Mm-hmm. That they now have got all these computerized, digitized everything, and now you can go. People are really into this genealogy.
Really into it, and I use a lot of it when I'm researching from the pages. But, you know, also Richard Bierman was very involved in that. Right. And every time I run into him, he says, when can I be on the podcast? And then he speaks with a really nice accent, so it'll be a lot of fun.
South African.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, South African, yeah. Anyway, we normally only do like a week or two, a week, maybe 10 days, and I was not here to approve, but there's like a whole month there. So usually we have a lot more stories in the paper. It's kind of been a slow news week lately. What are you going to do?
On regional news, I was really impressed with DeWine taking a stance against anti-Semitism, especially on campuses, and he wrote letters to all the campuses in the state of Ohio, and he wrote, a student's time at a college or university is one of intellectual challenge. It is also a time of personal growth. And remember, we talked about that last week with Dr. Nemzoff and someone going to college and trying to experiment with their Judaism. And he said, DeWine went on to add that no student should be afraid on a college or university campus, especially because of their race or religion. Sadly, for too many of our Jewish students today, that is not the case. Cases of anti-Semitism and anti-Israel sentiments have been reported on our campuses here in Ohio and nationally.
Well, I mean, I went away to school. You went away to school. Mm-hmm. And so this is like one of the first times when you move in freshman year and you're maybe walking across the college green and somebody's protesting or something and you're confronted with this.
Right.
So I think you have to look at where's that coming from. And I think a lot of... let's just say bad things, they've decided to go to the campuses of these universities and pay to have people there to protest and, right in your face kind of stuff. And that's happening all over the place. I think we know where it's coming from.
Yeah.
So I think we need to just let people know that if you have a college student or someone that you know is in college, just tell them that's what's going on. This is coming from the Middle East. We know that. The money is coming from there, and it's being used to I guess, upset pushed, people. Upset right. people. Let's put it that way.
It's disturbing.
Yeah.
But one of the nice things that we right. know, the Jewish community works both within the Jewish community and outside the Jewish community. Mm-hmm. The Israeli Prime Minister offers assistance. You know, we had hurricanes last week that were really
tornadoes in the western part of
very
Kentucky.
Close to where we live here. Mm-hmm. And here we come. Israel is going to come and help, which is wonderful.
So Western Kentucky is...
it's Mayfield,
and also the Western Kentucky is in, I forget the name of the town.
It's near St. Louis, too.
Well, it's down to the west.
Mm-hmm. And Indiana and St. Louis.
It was like a 200-mile path that this thing came through for several hours.
Right.
And just destroyed a ton of stuff. And I think the death toll's up to almost 75, 80 now. So it's sad, and that's just, and there's thousands of homes.
And a candle factory, and an Amazon warehouse. Right. So on page 6 in our Yiddish column, this is very interesting. Dr. Jordan Finken explains how some of the evolution of Yiddish. So Yiddish, of course, we know is a combination of Hebrew, Russian, and German. And then it became sometimes when some of the Germans could understand some of the Yiddish. So what the Jews would do is they would revert back to Hebrew, and they would smush in Hebrew into the Yiddish so that the Germans couldn't understand. It's a very interesting concept of flipping the language. And, of course, the Jews understood the Hebrew, and they would go back and forth between English and Hebrew, and the Gentiles listening, the German Gentiles, didn't understand. It's a really, really interesting way of understanding it. And he explains where some of the words, like schmooze, and where all those words came from. I really like his column
Very
every
good.
Week.
So below that is a story that I find interesting. It says 6 easy and stress-free ways to remove wax from your Hanukkah. So now that Hanukkah is over, I started putting all our stuff back away on Sunday when I had some time before I went to the game. And they lost.
Yes. But in terms of going back to the article, removing the wax, I always just stick mine in hot water and it melts right off.
See, I never knew. And then also talks about putting them in the freezer.
I didn't know about that, but I always just stick mine in the sink in hot water and it's off in a second. I do that with the Shabbat candlesticks too, because otherwise you can't get them in there.
I never
sticking.
Knew that.
Yeah.
All right.
So on page 8 in national news, there's pressure has ratcheted up on Unilever to end the Ben and Jerry's boycott. You know, honestly, it's our BDS towards them.
Yes.
But there's been a reduction in people investing in Unilever, and Unilever thought it was going to just pass by in a few weeks, and that it would.
It hasn't.
No. So there's the Israeli CEO of Unilever, Avi Zinger, has asked Unilever to maybe consider fixing that little problem.
All right. National news, Muslim leader warns of polite Zionists, they are not your friends. So, I mean, this is in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
The Council of American Islamic Relations. And, you know, I kind of think, like, Rodney, why can't we all just get along? Why are we all, these people are always constantly agitating and agitating and agitating. Do they want to get their name out there, or what? Is it for publicity? What good does it do?
I don't know. But then here we go. On page 10 in international news, we have Lapid meets with the Egyptian president in Cairo.
Good.
We have the Moroccan king orders restoration of Jewish sites.
I was in Morocco when I was in... So when I... The first year, actually I went... I went to France and lived in France with a family for my French requirement.
Right.
So my language requirement through political psychology.
And I heard you had a really good time when you were there.
Okay. So that's another story. Anyway, I went to Morocco, was traveling around and went down to Morocco, and I was like, I don't know, I kind of felt, I mean, I didn't know anything about anti-Semitism back then, and I didn't think about it, but it was a very Muslim country, and you would go to these, like, it was the Shuk or whatever, it was like this market, and then one guy would have, like, lamb's heads, and the next guy would have lamb's legs, and the next guy would have, like, stomachs. It was just, I guess they killed these animals, and then each guy had a different thing. Flies flying around, and I remember all that stuff. But it's good to see that Morocco and Israel now have a a good bond.
And then we have diplomatic tensions simmer in Israel and Poland, but then we go back and we see that Bennett is the first prime minister to visit the United Arab. So we go back and forth, and as you said, can't we just all be friends?
Right, right. All right.
So in terms of Israel, in Israel news, Tel Aviv is now the most expensive city to live in.
Yeah.
Everything is expensive there. And it was noted it used to be other cities, but my goodness, Tel Aviv.
Well, now, also, I want to point out, Germany now has a new prime minister, or will have a new prime minister. Olaf Scholz has been chosen as the new prime minister of Germany. And so things are going to come out about that, whether, you know, he's pro-Jewish, whether he's pro-Jewish. You know, that's going to end over the next couple of weeks, and we'll all find out. So hopefully he's a friend of the Jews.
So tell us around. Tell us a little bit about this picture of around the community at the Mayors and JCC. So
this is from the Mayors and JCC. They built a sukkah, and it's called Under One Roof. And a number of local artists put together different art pieces, and they put them in the sukkah. And people go and they hang out in the sukkah and they check it out. And there's also some classes that are happening in the sukkah. But we wanted to get some of these out because we've been having different themes. And so I just said, we need to get some of these moved out. We need to start getting them out.
So this is our auto issue. This is our auto issue. Tell me, what is your dream car?
My dream car?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know. I have to get back with you on that. Can I get back with you later in the show?
I love my car, my Mini.
Oh, you think the Mini is the greatest car in the
world? I love my Mini, yeah. I really do. I wish I could have gotten the electric one. It just wasn't out at the time.
I really like the, I like a CRV, all-wheel drive, maybe the touring model, white with a tan interior.
Yeah.
That's a nice car. And then my other car that I already have is, I have a Solera convertible, 2008 Solera convertible. It's like pearl white with a tan interior, and that's a nice car too.
Well,
and my buddy Zippy has a Jaguar.
Wow, I always wanted a Land Rover too, but
that's kind of those are big.
And the Teslas look pretty cool when those Teslas drive by. Boy, cool. Those are smooth looking. You know, last week we had Rabbi Ezra Goldschmidt with us, and it was a wonderful podcast. He's a very kind and humble soul, and it was lovely to have him. I hope everyone got to listen to that.
And he got a nice parting gift from the American Israelite.
Yeah,
I should point out that this Friday is our holiday
party.
Hanukkah holiday party. And there will be lovely parting gifts for people to take with them this year.
In our letter to the editors, we have two letters that are very important to read. They coordinate with our front page article.
Right. Right,
one is by Sue Newman Hochberg, the chair of the Board of Governors at HUC-JRR.
Right.
And the other one is from Rabbi Andrew Reichfield, the PhD president of HUC-JRR. And they go with the articles because you let them know that you were putting these articles out, and they responded with these letters saying, you know, we've got the communities back. We're going to take care of this.
Well, I mean, like I said, it was a different time back then, and different people did different. You know, you can't control it. But that kind of I don't know anybody that does. I mean, I know a little bit, but I don't. Things have changed.
Right.
You can't say certain things you can't just say anything to anybody anymore. Especially at work, you can't, you have to be on your best behavior. Even in public, you have to be on your best behavior. At meetings, you have to be on your best behavior. Things have changed.
It shouldn't just be your best behavior. It should be you. You have to be you, and you have to be cognizant of what's going on in the world.
Right. So and after I saw it, and I said, we need to report on this. And I also said, I think stuff like sometimes when this comes out, it's for the better, you know, because change and improvement, I think that's good too. I think we need to do that.
Improve upon ourselves. We're supposed to do every year after the holidays. You're supposed to be better than you were before.
So good things. I mean, it might be a little bit painful to read this, but I think good will come out of it. Good will come from this.
Another letter to the editor that we got was from someone by the name of Cynthia Starr, and I want to point out that she is very explicit about the fact that she's not Jewish. So we know the Israelite is read by not only our community.
Yeah.
But she read it, and she was talking about Schindler's List and whether or not a memorial should be made on the
survivors' camp in Poland.
Right. So, interestingly, she is a freelance writer and editor. She's worked at the Cincinnati Post. She's worked at different neurological centers as their media specialist. And she comes with an amazing resume, beginning with graduating from Northwestern School of Journalism.
Okay.
So let's give a hand for the community members that aren't Jewish that read our paper, and I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, it is.
On From the Pages, it's a great, there's a lot of really good stories, and I can't wait to get into them. So you want to start with the Bicentennial, which is our purple.
All right, so each week the American Israelite will print one milestone related to the history of the Cincinnati Jewish community over the last 200 years, provided by the Cincinnati Jewish Bicentennial Committee. Each milestone weaves Jewish history within the greater context of our community's development and our country at large. This is from 1873, establishment of the first Jewish Congregational Association of America, the Union of American Hebrew Congregations, known today as the Union for Reform Judaism. This union is the oldest Jewish congregational union. The union's purpose is to support American congregations and to provide financial support for HUC.
So, sadly, it also coordinates with our front page article. And again, we know in the beginning it was only men rabbis that were...
In charge,
and Sally Priesand was the first female rabbi, but and things are changing, and things are going to change more in the future. So under 150 years ago, first of all, the diamond ring is interesting. They're raffling off a diamond ring, and they're asking you to send a dollar or more for this diamond ring. Then you have betrothals, recent. We wonder if they're related to the Reeses. I wonder if they're first cousins that these people got married. But here's an interesting article. Written by a Mrs. Caroline Swartz from Cincinnati on December 1st, 1871.
Now, Swartz is a German name.
Sure, and it's probably the same as Schwartz, you know. So it's just how they spelled it when they transliterated when they came over.
Right.
And she writes, I take this method of complying with a special request of my dear, lamented husband, Joseph L. Swartz, to thank his many good friends who even denied seeing him during his recent illness, not unmindful of the kind manifestations of his friends, and while their visits under an ordinary ailment would have been welcome and very acceptable, yet as the nature of the malady of my husband deprived him of the use of speech, the presence of others beside the nearest relations was irksome and the source of no pleasure nor relief. So what I gather is no one came to visit him.
Yeah, because maybe he had some kind of
and they were worried about catching it. Yeah,
maybe he had like one of these flus, or he could have had the Omicron variant.
I don't know.
He got the COVID back in 1871.
I don't know, but in the meantime, if you go back and you look at the history of Caroline and Joseph Swartz, they lead down to the Bettman family and the Weiler family.
Okay.
So all the way down to the Judge Bettmans. Yeah.
Today.
So this is a family that produced children, who produced children, who produced children, came down to the Bettman family.
Right.
125 years ago, there's a story about a Master Alex Levy who became a famous artist. And thank goodness we have Carol Hershenson, who always has these little tidbits.
Right.
And you're laughing about...
I like this one. Well, I won't do the position one.
Oh, that was the one I thought was funny.
You can read that one. Go ahead and you do
Position wanted in Cincinnati for a boy 15 years of age who will not be required to work on Saturday. So he's asking you to write
in... Address J.S., the Israelite office.
Yep.
I found this one really interesting. This is from 100 years ago, and I think you have to set this up. But I'll read it, and then I'll explain what it is. The Dearborn Independent is again being sold on the streets of Cincinnati. The number sold is insignificant. The three-column advertisement, which appeared in the Enquirer of December 17, does not seem to have helped the sale of the Dearborn Independent very much in this city. In a number of other cities, the hawking on the public streets of this disreputable sheet is prohibited. Perhaps the authorities here can find some way of doing the same if they tried very hard. Editor's note, the Dearborn Independent was published... Now, this is one, pay attention.
Right.
The Dearborn Independent was published by Henry Ford from 1921 to 1927. It was a mouthpiece for Ford's anti-Semitic views and was opposed by both Jewish and some Christian groups. December 22nd, 1921. So all those people that own Fords and Mercurys and Lincolns and anything that comes out of the Ford Motor Company, the founder. So I remember watching the movie of the founding of the Ford Motor Company, and there was a guy named Birnbaum.
Right.
Remember that guy?
Yes, I was just going to comment on it.
Okay, so Birnbaum was his financial backer until he ran out of money. And I don't know if he ever gave him that money back. But
Ford owed money back to Birnbaum. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yes. I don't know if he got some of that money in stock or whatever, because he ran. He helped them set it up and helped them start the company, and then gave him money, and he never. I don't. He ran out of money, and so I don't know whatever. And he was a Jewish guy.
Yeah.
And then he turns around, you know, like 20 years later, and becomes very anti-Jewish.
And if you recall, on a Dodge, there used to be a Jewish star on a Dodge car as well. Yeah, so there was involvement with Jews on Dodges as well. Yeah, huh. The emblem was a Jewish star.
Okay.
For Dodges.
Huh. All right.
So, and thank you to Carol for clarifying all of that. Cars.
The Dearborn Independent was from Dearborn, Michigan.
So 75 years ago, there's a story about a Miss Betty May Shapiro, and she comes home from school, and it was noted again by Carol that the newspaper was the way of letting all your friends know you were back into town. Remember, they also would say when you were going on vacation. Nowadays, you wouldn't put that in because you wouldn't want, you'd worry someone would come and rob you while you were gone.
Yes, yes. All right, 50 years ago.
So 50 years ago, this is a great story. Dr. and Mrs. Harold Peskovitz, 4098 Rose Hill Avenue, are proud to announce the forthcoming bar mitzvah of their son Michael Richard, Saturday, December 25th at 9:30 at Adith Israel Synagogue at Ridge and Galbraith. Friends and relatives are cordially invited to worship with the family and attend the Kiddush following the service. So I had the great opportunity of talking to Michael Peskovitz today.
Yes, yes.
And he told me one of the things he remembers, that it was a very fun time in his life. And he really enjoyed training under Cantor Chaim Feifel, who was at that time the ritual director at Adith Israel. And he said it was just the beginning of the cassette tapes. So you didn't even have headphones. You'd have to go forward and backwards on your cassette tape to practice. And he said that he remembers very fondly Cantor Feifel having a wonderful disposition. And he was the Alan Weiner of his time. But going back to talk about his bar mitzvah, he told us that he bought his suit at Steinberg's in Norwood. And you're going to find that this entire story is very Cincinnati-oriented.
Right, right.
He remembers his Haftorah being Vayigash.
I think either last week or this week.
And he said when he was 43, 30 years later.
Right.
He chanted it again at Adith Israel, because he had been doing some chanting. And he said his party was more of an adult party, which we also heard from Jory Edlin, the same thing.
Right.
But the kids were set up in the basement to have a great time, and it sounds like it was a very 1970s event.
Did they have like a slow dance?
He said there was no dancing. If there was, he doesn't remember. But he does remember, you know, who the caterer was?
No.
Tilly Nobolsky.
Tilly Nobolsky. Yeah. Probably had some kosher pickles there.
And guess where all the guests stayed?
I don't know.
The guests all stay at the carousel. So it was a very, very typical bar mitzvah for Cincinnati. And, you know, one of the last questions I asked him is, tell us about the lasting effect of being a bar mitzvah 50 years ago.
Right.
And he said, you know, at that time, like every child, all he wanted to do was get through it, although it was a really enjoyable time.
Yeah.
He said, but after having five children of his own and being a parent and looking back, he realized, you know, what his parents must have felt when he became a bar mitzvah, and it changed the whole perspective of the event. And he does also remember that a lot of the gifts came from Jewish Hospital because of the striped paper that came on the gifts, a lot of pens and things like that. But mostly now, as an adult looking back on it, he appreciates it in a whole different way than he did as a child. And was really proud to have his five children all become bar and bat mitzvahs.
All right, so I have a Dr. Harold Peskovitz story.
Okay.
And so I was, we used every day during the summer, we would go to Clinton Hill Swim Club. Clinton Hill Swim Club is right down the street from Northern, for North Avondale School. You go down around the bend, then up around the corner and blah, blah, blah. And you go, and there's was Clinton Hill Swim Club. And so we were members there. And that was probably in the late 60s. I was probably about 10 or 11 or 12, around 68, 69, 70.
What kind of doctor was Dr. Peskovitz, if you don't mind me interrupting?
I don't remember.
Okay.
I don't remember what kind he was. But so there was this guy there named Jay Lask, who was kind of my buddy, and he was teaching me how to do flips off the diving board.
I already see the problem.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So he taught me how to do the front flip off, and then you bounce, and then you do the front flip off the board, and then do the front bounce and do the back flip off the board. And so I was practicing, and I did a back flip, and I hit the board. Okay.
Yeah. Wow.
And I got a big cut. I mean, it was probably 4 or 5 inches wide on the back of my head. And so I freaked out and went into, and I could see the blood coming out, and I like freaked out and went into the bathroom and just kind of, I don't know, what do I do now? And then I went and ran to my mom and said, Mom, I hit the board. People saw me doing that, and they were like, okay. And Dr. Peskovitz was there, and he said, okay, you know, you're coming with me. And he took me over to the hospital. I don't remember what hospital it was, but he drove, and he said, put this on your head, you know, like a towel, and just hold it there and hold it, you know, steady and press on it. And he took me over there, and he razored off all my, you know, the hair in the back, and he sutured me up. And then, you know, bandaged the wound up and everything else. And he goes, you're not doing that for a while.
No, yet. That's a very dangerous thing. And you're lucky he was there, and you're lucky you didn't crack that head open further and had your brains down there.
Yeah. So I was fine. So, you know, people always ask, when did I lose my marbles? And now you know.
So we not only have the story of Michael's bar mitzvah, yes. And thank you, Michael, for giving us the time.
I remember he was like, so he would have been younger than me by 13 years almost. Right? No.
No, he's your
age. Yeah, he's my little, age. Yeah. But he was like a little bit, I remember him when we were kids. So a big thing, I mean, and then we came back and my mom's like, well, we're going home. You're staying off the board. You're not going swimming anymore. You're done. So I didn't go swimming. I couldn't go swimming for like a couple weeks.
Why? Right, because you can't have let that heal.
I had to heal up.
But we want to thank Michael and his father, the late father, Dr. Harold.
Mazel tov to him on his bar mitzvah. And
may the memory of
his father be for blessing him. And thank you for taking care of me that day.
Yeah. So also 50 years ago,
right?
The American Israelite is the ideal gift for students attending an out-of-town college or university. That was just the gift they wanted.
It was.
Yeah.
They wanted to see what was happening back here.
Under 25 years ago, dear friends, on behalf of Mosi and me, I would like to thank, to offer my sincere thanks to all of our friends and family members who have sent cards, flowers, fruit, contributions, gifts, and warm wishes during my stay at the hospital. I wish I could thank each of you individually, but your prayers and good wishes have been so overwhelming. Certainly they are appreciated. I'm working very hard and feeling better each day. I hope we will be seeing each of you very soon. Thank you again for your thoughtfulness. And that's, you know, Selma Marcus, and I remember her fondly from when I moved here.
All right. Cedar Village, the Jewish community's new combined facility for the elderly on Mesa Montgomery Road in Warren County, is almost complete.
Okay.
That's 25 years ago. Now it's Cedar Village is done, and it's still around.
And also 25 years ago, Adith Israel Choir Director Mitchell Cohen has increased the number of choir members to more than 25, with almost half being women. But in the meantime, he's still there, and it's like the musical synagogue. It's amazing, all the music.
It's definitely the musical synagogue.
There's always a performance, yes, and it's good stuff.
Yes, you go there, and you like to.
I like to rock and roll.
Yeah, I know that. We know that. You were.
And I actually just saw. I saw Mitchell Cohen yesterday working out at the Blue Ash Rec Center too.
All right, so 10 years ago, to combat a growing problem, Cedar Village Retirement Community next month will be launching the first ever elder abuse prevention shelter in Ohio and one of the first in the nation. So I guess I guess this is something we have to deal with.
Right, because it's frustrating sometimes to deal with the elderly. It's same as child abuse. People are just as abusive either way.
Okay.
So our dining out.
No, I'm not there yet.
Oh.
I wanted to do something. And so in today's, and I saw this and I thought this was really interesting. Today in Israel history on page 21. So this is December 23rd, 1789. French citizenship for Jews is debated.
Oh.
The French National Assembly spends 3 days debating Jewish rights without a decision. Jean Siffrin Mari declares that Jews form a separate nation. Count Stanislaus de Clermont-Tonnerre says the Jews should be denied everything as a nation but granted everything as individuals. Maximilian Robespierre argues for citizenships. Sephardim gain emancipation in January 1790. This is 1789.
Mm-hmm.
So Sephardim, so this is December 23rd. So the following month, which would have been January when the new year changed to 1790, Sephardim gain emancipation in January 1790. Ashkenazim have to wait until September 1791, about a year later. Actually, a year and a half later. But I think that's just, it's fascinating, and it's very interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. Dining out.
Okay, back to dining out. Bread Smith, and they have really good
cranberry
looking
orange scones.
Yeah, the scones look really
blueberry
good.
Blueberry lemon scones.
The croissants look really good. Mm. So let's just put a plug in for bread.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Jeopardy devoted an entire category to the Yiddish theater, which I'd seen all over the news. Pretty cool. And then, of course, there's a lot of Jewish people getting Golden Globes nominees.
So in arts and entertainment, Miss India wins Miss Universe title in a lot. And her name is Harnaz Sandhu
of India,
was crowned the 70th Miss Universe in Eilat, Israel on December 12, 2021. So that's about just a couple of days ago. She's very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
Very
she pretty. Actually looks like Alyssa Gibberman in town, who's an eye doctor.
She looks like she could be Jewish.
Yes.
You know? One of our sad places is death notices. Lazarus O'Toole. So Marsha Betsy, Lazarus O'Toole, Levy, age 82, passed away December 12, 2021, 8 of Tevet, 5782.
Arthur Weil, age 93, December 11th, 2021, the 7th of Tevet, 5782.
Is it Mordecai?
Mordecai, yeah.
Mordecai L.
Tobolsky.
Tobolsky. Age 85, December 9, 2021, 5 Tevet, 5782.
And I get the easy name, Harris Berman, Dr. Harris Berman. Age 93, October 30th, 2021, the 24th of Heshvan, 5782. There's also an interesting article, May Their Memories Be for a Blessing, about Justice Rosenberg, and who smuggled Jews out of Europe. He was very young-looking, and he was worked in the resistance because he not only was young-looking, but he also was Gentile-looking, and he was able to pass, as they say. So I would like to our readers to make sure they read that article as well. And then it's the gift you can get an Israelite for a year.
Keeps on giving for a whole year.
And I usually try and figure out everyone I know who's not getting the Israelite and add them to the list.
And it's only $1.
Right.
$1, and you can send it in. And then we have an ad for what you want.
Right, the land.
You want that big, you'd like the big Land Rover
like
that?
I just liked it. I always liked that. I just like
there's like the smaller one, the Discovery.
Yeah.
And then there's now the Defender. The Defender, too.
That's more my size, the Discovery, but I always thought they were kind of cool looking.
Well,
cars.
They have these available right down the street from your house.
Right.
Over on 9115 Blue Ash Road at Land Rover of Cincinnati.
And they advertise in the Israelite.
I'm sure they'd be happy to take your order for a new car.
Yeah. All right. Sounds good to me.
So, joke of the week. Here we go. Hold on. Let me have a little drum roll. The drosha had lasted an hour and a half already. An hour and a quarter on the major prophets, and the rabbi hadn't got a third of the way through the minor ones yet. At last, he paused dramatically and exclaimed, "And Habakkuk, where shall we put him?" A man rose in the back row. "He can have my seat, Rabbi." From the World's Best Jokes, edited by Lewis Copeland. I guess he was a little bored of sitting in the back row waiting for, you know, Rabbi's going on and on and on. Anyway, we do have our Festivus poll, which will be moved into a prominent position for tomorrow for our
Friday.
Holiday party.
Yeah, for Friday. For
holiday. That's right. Sorry, this is Wednesday, and we'll have our holiday.
In case any of
greetings.
The guests are listening, we don't want them to show up the wrong day. Their food won't be.
Yes, it's Friday. Yes, yes. Even the yes. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
It'll be great. And we wish everyone a really good week of Shavua Tov. We want to thank again Michael Peskovitz for letting us interview him. And as well, we have next week, we think we have a surprise guest we're going to be bringing on. It'll be a lot of fun.
Okay.
We also have a big announcement, the people of the year, correct? Next week?
Yes, yes, yes.
The people of the year.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have Joan Rivers is back.
One of these days, I'm going to get that plaque made up.
Right. It's been only a year.
I know.
I did all the legwork for you.
I will get there eventually.
And then we're going to have Joan Rivers back, and then
Joan Rivers, you mean the Joan Rivers of Cincinnati?
That's correct, because the real Joan Rivers is not around
anymore.
I'll
be, in a couple of weeks, I will be sunning my tuchus in Key West, Florida.
You'll have a good time. It'll be wonderful
it'll be
for you
nice
and Stephanie to
actually,
get away.
Actually, you know, I changed my I was gonna rent a golf cart.
Uh-huh.
And then I changed my mind and said, you know, I just need a car.
Yeah.
You know, just a car. And I had heard all these stories during COVID. You can't get cars. I'm like, you could get a car. I went through the, it was cheap. The car was like $400 cheaper than the golf cart.
Oh, well, that's good.
I know. I was like, why didn't I just get a car?
Because you were listening to what everyone else was saying. And actually, I think things are a little bit better now that people are flying again. So there's probably more cars available.
Plus, you can't drive the golf cart on the highway. So I'm thinking if I wanted to go from Key West to Stock Island or up to Key Largo. I've never been to Key Largo. I've driven through there to get there, but I've never gone there maybe for lunch or dinner sometime or something like that. But I wanted to check that out. So a car, we can go, you know, drive around and check it out. I thought that would be kind of interesting.
Yeah, you'll have a good time.
It'll be fun.
Then one of the other weeks when you're gone, in addition to 1 week is Joan Rivers, the next week we're going to have some surprise guests here too from the Israelite. I'm very excited.
I'm worried.
Don't worry. We got it under control. Okay. Joan and I have it under control.
Joan and you have it under control. Okay. All right.
Anyway, Shavua Tov. Have a great week. See you next week. Thank you for listening, and thank you to Melissa House for editing.